This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
We are now joined by Jonathan Howcroft from The Guardian. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Jonathan. And both Victory and Sydney, of course, take part in the Asian Champions League tonight, and they face similar opponents in terms of quality. Who do you feel is going in more confident?
Oh, dear. It's a tough one, isn't it? I don't think either of them really can be that confident. The trip for Victory alone is so daunting, especially coming off what was a treacherous A-League encounter with Sydney FC. Simply because of the result of that big blow, you probably put Sydney FC as being in a stronger headspace. But it's that time in the group stage now where it's just all about results. Doesn't matter about performance, doesn't matter about all of the things that we talk about wanting to give Australian players exposure at the highest level and showing where the A-League rates in terms of its standard of play. They've just got to get results, both of them. And by hook or by crook, that's what this round of matches is all about.
Jonathan, also looking at, mainly in particular, Sydney FC, they've obviously got 1 point off the board. And they take on this Shanghai team who have all the attacking talent that there could possibly be in this Asian Champions League. But looking at what we were talking about a bit before was their defence is a bit suspect. They've conceded a lot of goals in the Chinese Super League. You think Sydney could potentially pose that little bit of a threat because they've beaten Chinese opposition already in Sydney prior to this?
Yeah, I think the difficulty Sydney FC have had so far this season is figuring out that combination in the final third. We know that Adam Lafondre is a proven goal scorer, but there doesn't seem to be the same relationship in the build-up play that they had in those last couple of seasons under Graham Arnold. Whether it's where Milos Ninkovic is playing and the form that he's been in. Adrian Mijewski was obviously crucial last season, but it feels like they've not figured out what that settled for is. And we know that Risa is going to be, we've recruited for matches like this in the Asian Champions League. Sim De Jong's got Premier League quality. We've seen little sparks from Anthony Caceres in recent weeks. So it's really, for me, just about figuring out what that combination is and then executing it against very, very dangerous opposition. Like you say, that's probably Shanghai's weakness, but it's all relative, isn't it? There's a weakness at a certain standard, but we still have yet to establish whether the A-League is good enough to capitalise on it.
And as much as, we talk about Sydney FC and the great talent they have, it is very difficult to look past the likes of Hulk and Oscar at the other end of the field. These two players in particular are within their prime and two fantastic world-class players. So, Jonathan, how do you tell your team, how do you prepare your team to come up against world-class players in their prime, something that A-League players perhaps aren't used to?
Yeah, I think the logic would be that you just ignore the reputation and you play them on their merits. They're just number 8 and number 13 and, whatever shirts they happen to be wearing that night. And you do your due diligence during the week. You put in the scouting report. You make sure each player knows what job they've got to do. But you take the star quality out of it and you accept that both teams are there on an even footing. It's a competition for the best teams in Asia and Sydney FC are there on merit. So there's no reason that they should feel overawed by it. I guess it's one of those things where at the end of the game, you'd have a bit of a hard heart not to see the players rushing to swash shirts just for the memento of the occasion. But from a pure footballing perspective, you've just got to ignore who's in the shirt and just take them as they come.
And for the team playing later tonight, Jonathan, the Melbourne Victory, they haven't brought an extensive list of players over to China, a very slender list with three goalkeepers. Should we read into the fact they haven't brought a full squad?
I think it's just an indication of how difficult it is to manage two competitions at the stage of the season with an A-League squad. And we've known it for Victory for a long time. They've been incredibly good at creating a very tight first 11 and two or three places outside of that. But they've always, in recent years, struggled to build that squad of 20-ish, which you need at this stage of the season because you get injuries, you get suspensions. one or two players will lose form. It's just part and parcel of operating a football club. You look at Manchester City, for example, at completely the other end of the scale, and they're going for four trophies at this stage of the season. You look at the players that they've got to just call on, who might not have started for a month or so, or you know, just been around the fringes of the first team squad, and they're World Cup starting superstars. Victory just don't have that, and the A League system doesn't allow them to really have that, unless you just have a youth system that's just churning out players year after year after year, and nobody's got that at the moment. So maybe it's an indication that Victory are starting to cut their cloth, and instead of you know, perhaps rationalising down their chances in the Champions League as compared to the early finals that are coming up. But I think it's just reality. I think sometimes we just have to accept that teams have to deal the hand that they're dealt with.
So should Melbourne Victory lose tonight, that would be their third successive loss in the Champions League and would make it very difficult to advance through to the next round. And if they don't progress through to the round of 16 of the Champions League, Jonathan, do you feel as though Melbourne Victory would accept it based on what you just said there, or will there be any pressure on anyone around the club?
Yeah, so that is a very, very good question to ask, and a question for Trent Jacobs and Anthony Di Pietro, because for a club of their stature in Australia, their membership, their consistent success over a long period of time, they just have not got the formula right. Whatever it is over a succession of coaches and squad iterations, they've just consistently fallen short of the mark. Now, whether that's just a consequence of being hamstrung by the domestic conditions, possibly so. The independent A-League will be step one to freeing those domestic obstacles that might be getting in their way. But I think there probably are bigger questions to ask. And yeah, I mentioned one of them in terms of the squad building. But you'd probably have to ask internally where it ranks on their hierarchy. You know, is consistent performance domestically more important? How much would you have to sacrifice to have a fully fit squad in a match like we've got coming up? You know, as you mentioned, it does look like they're managing their squad for this particular match. If you were looking further back and saying, okay, there might be three players who are playing at 80 to 100% loading, would you give them a week off in the A-League knowing that there's a Champions League game coming up? It feels at the moment as if the A-League is still the priority for Australian teams, and it is so competitive that you can't really take your foot off the gas. So it's a very, very difficult situation that Australian teams face at the moment. And Victory, for all their local muscle, they haven't done anywhere near as well as they would have hoped in recent seasons.
And of course, their do or die contest with Guangzhou happening 10 p.m. tonight, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Looking ahead to the final series, where Melbourne Victory will be involved in massive capacity. As the current table stands, we will see a Melbourne Derby elimination final, most likely played at Amy Park. Despite finishing sixth on the table, Jonathan, is facing Victory a best-case scenario for Melbourne City, considering they haven't lost to them yet and they wouldn't have to travel?
Absolutely it is. And if you're Melbourne City right now, you are looking at the remaining fixtures and you're looking at what Victory are doing, and you are, I have to put it politely, you would like to hope that is the outcome. If City can't get a home final of their own, playing Victory is the next best thing. They match up well against them. It means they don't have to travel. Like you say, it may well end up being at their home ground. So, and they raise. You know, there is one of those cliches about clubs raising for derbies. City do that. So, absolutely. That if it meant that finishing sixth was the outcome, then absolutely you would find a way to make that happen, I think.
And Jonathan, that final, if it did take place, we know that Marvel Stadium is all booked out that weekend, so it'll be at Amy Park. What are your thoughts on that? Obviously, we know the atmosphere will be absolutely unreal, but obviously 25,000 fans won't be extra fans won't be able to attend, obviously, because it's a much smaller capacity. Is that going to, in your opinion, hinder anything?
My kind of default position on this is play football in football specific grounds. If people miss out, so be it. You can't cater for everybody all the time. And Amy Park is Victor's home ground. I know they have a good it works out financially them to play at Marvel Stadium when, you know, that 5-game a season package that they've got, it makes financial sense, but it just boggles my mind that clubs can have multiple home grounds and choose to take games away from the venues that create the best atmosphere. In a full pumping 30,000 capacity Amy Park will just be the most fantastic spectacle for an A-League final. And if they get, I don't know, 10 or 15 years of consistently filling it at that level, then great, you know, look to move to a bigger venue. But the bigger problem that we have is teams not filling the venues that they've got. So it doesn't concern me in the slightest that for one game that there might be a lockout. And you know, sometimes that drives interest, doesn't it? It increases the level of expectation of the match and that crackle that goes around the ground. So yeah, I've got no problem with that at all.
And the fact that it would be marketed as a sellout, it can really increase the popularity for the game and the ratings,
totally.
I'm sure. And speaking of teams who in the finals, there are also quite a few that missed out. Of the, let's say, the bottom three, the Mariners, Wanderers and Brisbane, I think next season is what they're really looking towards. Do you see one of those teams or any of those teams doing perhaps what a Wellington did this season and propelling themselves into the top few?
Of the three, there's only the Wanderers, really. I'm enormously concerned about Brisbane. I think they're in a major hole right now. And let's just hope that they have an off-season that rebalances that football club. The Mariners, for all their inability on the pitch, they seem to have a handle on what they're doing. Alan Stadjic is looks like a good appointment. We know Mike Charlesworth and how he runs the club. They are what they are. And the Wanderers, I've been bullish about the Wanderers all season. I thought Marcus Babbel got a raw deal from a lot of people in the first half of the season. They messed up the transition away from Tony Popovic, and he has to be given the opportunity to build a squad that suits the style of play that he wants. And you look at how they've performed in recent weeks and the players that he's brought in the January transfer window, they look a pretty strong squad. They still need to figure out what a settled best 11 looks like and what those fringe squad players who he calls on for those kind of roles. But you look at the talent, particularly in the final third, and they're going to trouble anybody. And once they're in that local football-specific stadium and they get the crowd behind them and hopefully a few early results to get a bit of momentum, that will be the best ticket in town again. And with a team that I think could go places. So, yeah, long-winded answer to your question, I think the Wanderers would be the team that fits that brief.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us once again here on a Wednesday for the Journos program. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you very much.